Well, we this month have been looking and all throughout Scripture, we have been in a series called What Child Is This? And what's been great about this series is, as opposed to previous series that we've done around Christmas time, rather than hanging in just the Gospels, we've actually taken a whole biblical narrative approach to understanding and seeing who is this Jesus. And what we find every time we read throughout the biblical narrative is that Jesus is the Son of God, God Himself in the flesh, Emmanuel with us, come to redeem His creation. And what we're going to see this morning in Luke chapter 2, which if you've spent any time around churches around Christmas time, I imagine is a very familiar passage. What we're actually going to see now, and what I hope, is that the weights of all the other passages that we've been looking at, I hope that weight sinks in. That all these prophecies have been leading up to this one moment, to where Jesus is born. So please, if you will, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 15 verses here together this morning. Oh, wrong page, here we go. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Now, I want you to imagine in your life trying to make a promise today and remembering all the details a year from now. Here's my problem oftentimes within our worship ministry, is people will come to me and they will say things like, "I found this great Christmas song. Can we do it next year?" And I'll listen to it. I'm like, "Yeah, that's a great Christmas song. We're totally gonna do that next year." And then what happens is the next year comes along and we hit Christmas Eve and I go, "Oh no, I did not do this song that I was introduced to last year." And every single year I find myself forgetting about these songs that I promised that we could do. And it's not that I didn't try to do them. It's not that I told them I liked the song, but I actually didn't. If anyone's, all of you who are part of the worship ministry here, you know that I will tell you exactly what I think. Just a few chuckles. So it's not that I actually tried to forget about it. It's just a year has gone by. And we've sung hundreds of songs throughout the year. And when Christmas comes around every year, there's this onslaught of new music that gets released, all these artists, and so I'm listening to all these, and I'm getting excited about these new arrangements, and before I know it, Christmas Eve has come, and I did not schedule the promised song. A minor thing, easily forgotten. I want you to think about in your own life, what's maybe something that you find yourself making a promise about and it's easy to forget? I know that all of us have made promises, and as time has gone on, maybe we've forgotten about them. Details slip our mind, and before we know it, they're forgotten. And this is something that I think that we as people can resonate with, which is what makes Luke chapter 2 such an incredibly powerful passage. Because Jesus, as we have seen over the last month, was promised to come. But it's not like God prophesied that he would come a year early, a couple years early. No, we see thousands of years have passed with this promised one who would come to take our place eventually on the cross, who would be born into this world, fully God, fully man. See, what we're going to see this morning is that while Easter will teach us why we put our faith in Jesus, Christmas teaches us who we trust in, who we put our faith in. At Christmas time, we get this great unveiling. Who is this child? It's the title of our series. What child is this? It's Jesus. It's God with us. What we see first in our passage here is that the silence that is broken by God shows to us that his word is true. Look again back to verses 1 through 7. We have just this amazing historical event that's taking place. Remember, keep in mind, trying to keep a promise a year out, 50 years out, let alone thousands of years out. See, in Luke chapter 2, in these first seven verses, it's this incredible moment where numerous passages of Scripture, they all come to a head in the most simple wording possible. Think back to Genesis chapter 3. In the beginning pages of the Bible, God creates everything. Colossians tells us that everything is created to, by, and for the glory of Jesus. And in the early pages of Genesis, the world is created and it's good. And if a perfect God says that something is good, well, it's perfect. And he creates the animals and he creates the world and he creates everything that's part of it. And then he creates people to dwell with God, to be in fellowship with God. And then people mess up. Sin is introduced into the world. That first time that people thought that they knew better than God. And now this perfect creation has a problem. It's now not perfect. Sin has been introduced into the world. And Genesis chapter 3 tells us that there will be one who comes that will redeem all things, that will defeat evil. But we're pretty far back in the pages of Scripture. We're thousands of years away in time. And then we move on through the New Testament, and God begins establishing these covenants with different peoples. And as you read through these covenants, you can see God's plan unfolding before us, leading to this one who was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3. And then this amazing turn in God's covenants take place, and that's in 2 Samuel. And in 2 Samuel, God continues his pattern of establishing covenants, and he makes this covenant with David, King David. And he says, through David's line, through your throne, will come one who will eternally rule. There will come a Davidic king, will be this figure through whom God would secure the promises of all things, his descendants, his blessings, his will. Still pretty far back in history. And then last week, we spent time in Isaiah chapter 7, 735 BC, over 700 years before Jesus would come on the scene. And again, we're in this midst of historical turmoil. And Isaiah is given this prophecy from God. And these prophecies, they continue to narrow in. It's not just a figure at this point. It's not just the one who will come. Isaiah chapter 7 gives us a detail. He says, a child will be born of a virgin. Emmanuel, God with us. This is your hope. Micah chapter 5 specifically states that Bethlehem, this tiny little town, Bethlehem is not this major metropolis. Bethlehem is an agricultural town. The place literally translates to house of bread, which, if you read your Bible, you'll know later that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. This place where all of Israel's lambs to be sacrificed were raised, hence the shepherds in our narrative here this morning. Are you seeing how all these little details are coming together? Micah chapter 5 says, Bethlehem, O you little town, will be this place of great fortune and blessing, through which something great and wonderful will come. And now in Luke chapter 2, all these pieces, and there's hundreds more of these. I can spend all morning, and we can just read prophecies pointing to Jesus. And then finally, we get to Luke chapter 2, and read here in verse 7, what does it say? And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. I even find it amazing that in the first verses here of Luke 2, that Caesar decided to take up a census. And it had been a long time since a census had been taken. It's not like this was a yearly thing. People were established. Joseph and Mary of Nazareth, they were well established. And they had to get up and they had to go to Bethlehem. Just so happens to be the place where Jesus, the Savior of the world, was prophesied to be born. The silence broken by God, it shows us that his word is true. The first major thing that we can learn at Christmas every single year is that you can trust God and his promises and his plans. I forget things that I say I'm going to do on a daily basis, let alone building up to something that I say I'm going to do thousands of years from now. I couldn't do that. I can't make it from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. half the time. Oh, I forgot to do that. Yeah, my bad. Sorry, Chelsea. I know that I can't handle like half the time the capacity to maintain what I say I'm going to, even if it's just a small task, I'm going to forget about it, let alone hundreds of prophecies, not a single detail left unfulfilled in the birth of Jesus. You will not find one prophecy about the birth of Christ, one detail about his birth that is unfulfilled. And it all comes to a head in these simple words. And while she was there, she gave birth a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. What incredible just fulfillment this is. What great trust this ought to give you in who God is. See, Christmas time, as we've been saying all month, it's not this isolated event. Jesus came to eventually go to the cross, to take our place, to die for us. Jesus came so that you could have someone you could put your faith in and receive life. Jesus came to live the life that we could not live. Jesus came to fulfill every prophecy that had been foretold. Jesus came to fix everything, to save the world, to rule as our king. He didn't come just to show us a miracle of a virgin birth. No, Christmas time is so much greater. It is the launching point into Easter. When we celebrate Christmas, as I said in the beginning, this is the point where we learn who we put our trust in, who our faith lies in. It's in Jesus, fully God and fully man. I find it truly incredible that after centuries, thousands of years of growing anticipation, God so perfectly fulfills his word. The silence broken by God, it shows us that his word is true. Second, let's reread together verses 8 through 12. So this narrative takes a shift. We have Joseph and Mary, we have this child born, and now Luke chapter 2, it actually begins to ensure and give detail as to who this Jesus is. And in these next four verses, we learn that the child born of a virgin shows us that God is faithful. Read here again in verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The child born of a virgin shows us that God is faithful. And why is God faithful? Because we're receiving now the detail that this child is actually who God said this child would be. Again, think back on all of these prophecies we mentioned. Think back on the text that we've looked at over the last month. Everything that God said would come, it came to pass. And the details are right before us. Verse 11, today in the town of David, we're fulfilling a covenant. A Savior, that's Genesis chapter 3, will be born to you. Again, we're back to Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, Micah 5, 2 Samuel, all these verses that we've already looked at, they're being hit one word at a time. And he is the who? The Messiah, the Lord. We see this in Matthew. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Is faithful. The shepherds being reached out to show how faithful God is. There are times when God is silent. Between the Old and the New Testament, there's a period of 400 years where God is absolutely silent. Could you imagine being well-versed in the Old Testament, knowing that God has made all these covenants? You can see the story building. We hit the end of the Old Testament, and it's like, when's it going to happen? When's this Messiah coming? And God goes quiet. You're like, okay. God, this is getting awkward. It's like when the teacher says, like, I'll be right there, and then they never come back. There's just this silence. And God sometimes is silent in our lives. I know that I've had to wait, and still for many things, I'm waiting on God and His silence. But when God does act, and when He does fulfill His word, He is faithful to share what He has done and what He is doing. There is no confusion as to who Jesus is. God makes it abundantly clear that Jesus has kicked the door open. He is here. He has come. These prophecies are fulfilled. The one that everyone has been waiting for has come. And you can have trust that God is faithful to His word. Christmas time is one of the best lessons in believing God is faithful. If you've ever struggled with wondering whether or not God is faithful, here it is. If God can uphold all of these promises, I can trust that He can uphold anything that He says, anything that He prophesies, that He promises. Because if things about Jesus could come to pass, God has proved beyond compare that He can maintain any part of His word. And He does. You can, again, read all throughout Scripture, and time again, we are reminded that God is faithful. And look here, I love this. God's like, I'm going to go find the most lowly of people, and I am going to make sure that they know that the time has come. And He goes to these shepherds, these angels are revealed to them. They say, do not be afraid. And Jesus is completely revealed in detail. And I just find this just so, it's just so worthy of great joy in our life. Christmas time is joyous. This is why we sing things like Joy to the World, the Lord has come. This is why the shepherds, they get up and they go. They're like, my gosh, what's happening? This thing that we've heard about, this thing that our forefathers read, that we have read, that we have heard. Oh my God, this is it? Oh my gosh, we have to go now. Which leads to this final point, that Jesus, He gives us the hope that God is with us. When I was born, I imagine that my parents were excited, my family was excited, some family friends, and that was it. There wasn't social media, so there weren't any sympathy likes that I was born. Right? It was the close circle. Look, we all do it. We're like, oh, that's cute. It was a close circle, and that was it. And my parents, they could have gone up to anyone else in the hospital I'm from a town called Turlock. They could have driven down the street in Turlock, California, and been like, oh, my son has been born, come see him. Could you imagine if one of you ran up to me and I didn't know you, we're gonna take, you know, if we're complete strangers, we're gonna take church out of this. If we're just on the street, you run up to me, you're like, this child has been born, you have to come see. I'm gonna go, why? Is the baby healthy? Yeah. Mom healthy? Yeah. Great. Like, why? There's no need for me to go randomly see some child. I don't think any of us would be like, I have to go now. What hospital? No. Unless you're a family or a friend of that family, it's not going to carry much weight for you. It's really no impact on your day. Thousands of babies are born every moment. So with that in mind, these shepherds were part of a very close-knit community who would have heard of births in the town and the surrounding area often. Look here at verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Hey, if you go down to Geisinger, there's going to be a baby there, wrapped, born. So what do you do with that? What do they do? And then suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. I would be very convinced as well that I need to go see this baby. When I was born, the angels of heaven did not appear, nor did they for any of us. But when the Son of God was born, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the same angels that are praising and worshiping him in Isaiah 6, the same angels that are worshiping our God in Revelation, the same angels that all throughout the Old Testament that worship our God are the same angels that rip open the sky and say, glory to God. Here he is. Get up and go. This is the most incredible, joyous thing that any of you, any of us could experience. God is with us. Jesus, the Son of God, he gives us the hope that God is with us because we're told God is here. He has come. Everything has been fulfilled. Get up and go and see this child, the one who has come to save the world. I find it so incredible that the silence has been broken by God, and these shepherds know that this is no ordinary birth, that this is the greatest event in history to that moment. That God has stepped into the world. Come to live. Come to die. Come to rise. Even the lowliest of shepherds knew that if the angels in heaven appeared to rejoice, they better be rejoicing too. As should we. Because only the Son of God is worthy of the angels of heaven singing glory to God in the highest heaven. And notice this, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Jesus brings hope, he brings joy, he brings peace, he brings the fulfillment of prophecy. He shows God's faithfulness. He reveals who God is. And in return, we trust in him and we rejoice about him and for him. You can trust the story of Christmas because it shows us that God is with us. And what is so, I think, wonderful about Christmas is that if all this is true, which all historical accounts, both secular and religious, point to the fact that Jesus was in fact a real person. So if all accounts point to the realness of Jesus, his existence, if all of these things have come to fruition, to fulfillment, if this child has been born of a virgin, which her public shame was enough to carry word around, that she had been born a child, a virgin. If all of these things had come to pass, then how much more hope do you have that the events of the coming Easter season are also true? That if Jesus was born, that he came and fulfilled every prophecy, then how much more you can actually trust that the events of the cross are true? See, as I said at the beginning of this, Easter season, it is all about why we put our faith in Jesus. But right now, Christmas, this is giving you the who. And so now that we understand the who, and we can confidently say, this is God, he is with us, then now I can have even greater joy that the life of Jesus lived perfectly with the mission of becoming our Savior and Redeemer. What great joy I can have in trusting in him and following him every day. Christmas time, it's one of the greatest proofs of God's existence. It's one of the greatest proofs of God's ultimate plan of redemption. And it's one of the greatest proofs for his faithfulness and why we can have a deep trust and joy in him. And not just this Christmas season. This is our reminder. The songs, the colors, the greens, the reds, everything that we do, all these little reminders, the traditions, the church services, they're all simple, but effective reminders that God is faithful, he is true to his word, and he is the one who gives us ultimate joy. And as I said last week, it's then why we can say joy to the world, as Luke 2 so evidently proves to us, the Lord has come. So this Christmas, and we'll continue this evening at our candlelight service to unpack this narrative, to unpack the birth of Jesus, to unpack the perspective of Mary, Joseph, to look at just how impactful this birth is. This Christmas Eve and tomorrow with Christmas Day, I hope that you can take away and trust in three things. First, that God does not make empty promises. When he says that something will come to pass, it always will. As I said, there are over 300 passages of Scripture surrounding the purpose and the coming of Jesus, all of which are fulfilled in his birth. If God says it, it's going to happen. And the ones that haven't come to pass, you can trust them. We know that Jesus is coming again. He already came once. Christmas gives us confidence that God will be faithful to his word. Secondly, the birth of Jesus, it should give you hope every day that God is beyond faithful to his word. We all know that this world is crazy. We all are no stranger to the effects of sin. We're no stranger to the chaos that comes when Christ is not just an inherent part of someone's life or a community. But when we do lean on Jesus, when we do see him for who he is, when we recognize just how important and impactful his birth is, we can have hope every day that God is beyond faithful to his word. And that is something that we can rely on. That is where our lives can be shaped, at Christmas and beyond it. And finally, as I said in the beginning, and I hope that these words carry as much weight for you as it did for me even typing them, that the birth of Jesus shows us who we should trust in. It is God. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our King. And Jesus, born to be the Savior of the world. One more time. Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Each year, Easter will teach us why we put our faith in Jesus. And Christmas, it teaches us who we put our trust in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you so much for this morning and this time together. God, we just thank you for the wonderful gift that is your Son, Jesus. You say in the Gospel of John, through your great love, you gave your only Son. This birth, it is beyond any birth that the world has ever experienced. Lord, it is the fulfillment of your word. And God, I pray this morning that we would be reminded that you are worthy to be trusted. God, that you are so faithful. And God, that we could take deep joy in you, knowing that you are the one who has always had a plan. And that plan was your Son, Jesus, born to die, so that through faith in him, we might live. God, we love you. We thank you for this day, and we pray for your blessing on our time together. We pray this all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.